bucket to the shores of Orange Beach and all points in between. An insider's perspective on Alabama politics. It's the Jeff Poor Show.
I don't think Hank done it this way.
And welcome to the Jeff Poor Show on FM Talk 106.5. Good Tuesday morning to you. Thank you for being with us. We always appreciate you listening. 251-343-0106. If you need to be in touch with the program, all you got to do is text me, and I'll do my best to respond to whatever it might be that's on your mind. Coming up about 30 minutes from now, from Lawrence County, State Representative Ernie Arbrough will be with us. Interesting to talk to him. He has been the most, you guys who care about the flock camera issue, he's your man. He's been the most outspoken lawmaker about this and continues to be. And I thought it'd be appropriate to get him on the program. Also on the show today, John Wall, he is the Republican nominee for lieutenant governor. That's in the 10 o'clock hour. And then, as we always do on Tuesdays, Will Hampson from P2 Public Affairs. It's election day in Florida today. So we'll get into that a little bit with him. If there's anything, you know, there's some mildly intriguing contest in Florida to watch. So we'll talk about that. Byron Donalds, who appears to be the front runner there. And whatnot. Let's see, get text line 251-343-0106 if you want to be in touch with me, your show host. Let's see here. Like I said, the flock camera issue is still coming up, and Representative Stringer was on yesterday calling them revenue generators. It's kind of interesting where our current affairs discussion has gone, and then that seems to be something. I don't know. You see all these random acts of maybe vandalism or whatever you want to call it. People taking the law into their own hands and taking these things down, and they're getting cheerled. Here's the problem with doing that in our society. We have such a social media-driven culture that the stated reason that you're protecting the Constitution, you're protecting your Fourth Amendment rights, and the government shouldn't be putting these cameras up, and then people are going out and doing crazy things, which is, you know, whatever, but sometimes they're playing to the camera. We have a society where, especially in politics, where everybody seems to be playing to the camera. And it's not just people with access to a camera. Now everybody has access to a camera. But people are against these things. They don't like it. They think this is something that's got to be battled out in the Alabama legislature later on, I guess the beginning of the year next year. What should that look like? What kind of guardrails do they need? Because my guess is a lot of you probably would say this. None of these anywhere, no how, no way. We don't want these cameras up in our communities. But there's going to be, you think about like the powerful lobbies, like the Sheriff's Association or the municipalities, the people that are for these things are going to have a lot of sway, especially in that building, in the new state house, come 2027. And so they're going to come up with some kind of compromise. And there's still going to be the outrage machine is still going to be out there. Hey, we don't want these at all. And you're going to get some kind of compromise, and they're going to pass a bill. Here's what's going to happen. The Alabama legislature is looking for you, looking out for you and protecting your Fourth Amendment rights. And we think that this compromise is does just that. And this is your legislative chamber working for you. And you may hear in the background Yankee Doodle Dandy, maybe some flags, and the usual suspects will write the headlines, the Alabama legislature protecting your constitutional rights. But it's just a compromise. But there's going to be some kind of compromise, I suspect, when it's all said and done. But in the meantime, we'll talk about it. Right now, data centers are breathing a sigh of relief while the flight cameras get all the publicity. Once again, 251-343-0106. If you want to be in touch with the show, we're still under DSA watch. You can't vote for these guys because they're socialist. Yeah, I mean, I don't think that message plays to anybody who was going to vote for these people in the first place. It's just not time for that. But that's still the... And there's like James Carville. Y'all know who James Carville is, a raging Cajun. Longtime Democrat strategist. Probably if you look at the left and the coming feud that's going to ensue, that he is the most outspoken sort of establishment Democrat. And then he just refuses to take any of these fringe candidates seriously. This is what I would say, though. I believe that these guys have to be taken seriously. They're winning elections. And in our politics, especially if like you look at Alabama, and people just tend to go and they vote for the party. They don't go through the ballot. They go in and check Republican or Democrat. And they're not going to be looking at, you know, the specifics of a candidate who's a card-carrying communist or whatever. A card-carrying socialist. Whatever they want to call themselves. Republicans have let us down. Gas prices are high or whatever their justification is. And that's all that's going to matter. So, these primaries matter. We'll see if there's any more surprises. What, they got Alaska, Florida, and Wyoming tonight. Don't know about any hot races in Wyoming. I do know the Senate race in Alaska is kind of interesting. There's like two Dan Sullivans on the ballot or something. But that's still kind of commandeering the coverage, the news coverage. That we're looking at who is, what stripe of Democrat are you? And you're starting to see the softening on the Democrat side from Hakeem Jeffries and others that we're going to embrace these people. We're going to have one big old tent. Because I think he sees the writing on the wall. This is the movement kind of on the upswing here. This is where your party's headed. And it's less about the ideas and ideology. It's more about holding on to power. It's more about achieving power. And that prize to him is probably Speaker of the House. He's going to need their votes. So he's going to go along. But this is where Democrats are starting to wise up to all of the lip service being paid to these people. Well, we're going to start taking over the private sector. Three Democrats out there. When are we going to start enacting some of this socialization of our economy? When are we going to start mandating that transgender females be allowed in girls' locker rooms? If you don't, then we're going to take away your education funding, your federal education funding. Because they get promised all this stuff. And they never get to, there's no delivery on it. And there's a, I mean, it's sort of what the same frustrations you guys have with the Republicans and the SAVE Act and things like that. Democrats have that frustration as well, but, you know, they're not talking about showing a, an ID at a polling place, which seems like a such a small thing in your daily routine that you go and vote. In Alabama, I guess we vote four times a year or something. They're talking about the government taking over everything and the federal government with a top-down approach mandating that your children have to do this. They have to eat this. They have to watch this. Those are their heavy lifts. Our heavy lifts are just, you know, make sure that illegals don't vote at a polling precinct. Maybe cutting some kind of hearing aid tax or something. Something, you know, that's remotely tangential to your life. And they just want to take over. They want to ban fossil fuels. Because the planet has a temperature, has a fever. So you see, like, you know, they could say right-wing radical extremist. But they don't want illegal aliens working in the United States. Those crazy Republicans, wow. They want Donald Trump's name on the Kennedy Center. Like, those are their gripes, you know? Our gripes are, well, they want to take over the oil and gas sector of the economy. They want to violate cultural norms that humanity has lived with for thousands of years. So they think big. I know, like I said, though, in some ways, we just want to maintain the status quo. You want to maintain an America, kind of the America we grew up with, the things we've always done things. And it sort of worked. Don't need any big radical changes. So when they're not bashing Trump, like, these are the ideas that are winning the day in Democratic Party politics. But like I said, all of this is like, this is fine. But just know that a lot of the people, they don't, this isn't as important to them as just winning the election and getting power. So a lot of these Democrats and some of these Republicans as well will say, and you know, whatever they need to say to win an election, and not just a election of the voters, but an election of the House to pick a speaker. Anything along those lines. And they would say it. They said it over and over again because they knew he'd play it to the crowd. But what's happened in the meantime is that people started like really believing this stuff, running on it and winning, not just running on it as a vanity campaign, like a, you know, Bernie Sanders presidential campaign or something, to get up on the stage and talk about it. Talk about like Vermont style socialism. No, it's like become a thing in the politics where you, it doesn't seem serious, but you have to take it serious because now those guys are winning elections. Let's get a break in here. We'll be right back. This is the Jeff Poor Show on FM Talk 106.5.
But somehow on and on I go. I keep on rolling with the flow. Folks said that I... He asked me how I bought it. I told him on credit. Daddy just smiled. I'll never forget it. Daddy never was the Cadillac kind. He said something. Glitter and shine taught us that love was the one thing money couldn't buy. That it never.
Welcome back to the Jeff Poor Show on FM Talk 106.5. Thanks for sticking around on this Tuesday morning. 251-343-0106. State Representative Ernie Yarbrough will join us here in the next segment. So make sure you stick around. for that. Let's see here. Mike writes, the Fleck issue to me isn't current law enforcement. It's under what happened under COVID and what will happen again. It's just part of the network of total control over each and every person. I mean, maybe over some, in some jurisdictions. What do you think it's like in, you know, Slocum, Alabama? Why do you think they're embracing this technology? These small towns around Alabama seem to be where a lot of this angst is being generated. And do we think that, like, mayors and city councils or town councils are like nefariously plotting against people? I think Representative Stringer was on to something. Maybe a manufacturer comes in and there's that profit incentive. And they come in and there's a way to make money. Now, they have maybe ulterior motives. I don't know. Did they get a cut? But they're also able to hold all of this data that's being compiled. And they're able to go to the city and say, hey, we can put these in your city for a low cost, and you can have a bunch of TV screens at your police station, and you can monitor, kind of keep an eye on things without having necessarily to have as many patrol cars. I mean, what do you are you know? Maybe they're being sold a bill of goods here. Fire dog, down with the bourgeoisie. I mean, flock cameras and data centers. Roy. How about removing qualified immunity as a card rail for bad actors? Well, how do you determine who's a bad actor and who's a good and who's acting in good faith? Unnamed texter writes here. I think it's the public. We, the public, know that what we are being shown on these flock cameras are real and not AI generated to frame someone for a crime to shut them up. Or just get them out of the way. Doesn't it like seem like that's such a heavy lift? That like, maybe there's somebody in and they're just causing a ruckus on Facebook or something. I mean, I don't know. You know, I wouldn't put it past someplace. You know, people have weird reactions to criticism. Especially people in power and government, and they kind of evaluate it. Well, I could do this, couldn't I? This person out there talking about me could really hurt my reelection chances. So yes, there's a possibility of abuse, but really, what, like, put yourself in whoever's putting these cameras up and making the decisions to green light them. Well, what is their goal here? Because I don't think it's one world order. I don't think that, like, all these little towns and counties all around the country are like, hey, well, we're kind of going along with this Orwellian-style 1984 system. It might be that it's big tech. Squirrelverine writes, my neighbors put up yard signs for Doug Jones and Sam Jones. How interesting that Doug changed the signs to Doug for Alabama as to separate him from his known name. No donkeys on the sign either. My point is, people better wake up and not take Tuberville's win as definite. Well, I mean, it's hard not to. If it's closer. But, I, you know what I'd say, though, that I took Roy Moore's win as kind of a definite. And I just thought, like, there's just no way. But in a special election in the middle of December, the impossible is possible. Is it possible in a general election in November when the whole country is voting for some upset to take place? 251-343-0106. We will return. This is the Jeff Bohr Show on FM Talk 106.5.
Hand me my hat. Excuse me, man. Where's the door? From Carolina.
Welcome back to the Jeff Poehler Show on FM Talk 106.5. Thanks for being with us on this Tuesday morning, 251-343-0106. You need to be in touch to show, just text me, and I'll get to your text. I'll see a few here. We'll get to those in the next segment, so please stick around for that. Still to come on the program about an hour from now, our Republican nominee for Lieutenant Governor John Wall, and then in the 11 o'clock hour, P2 Public Affairs and Tuesday regular to the Jeff Poehler Show, Will Hampson. Joining us now, he's a lawmaker from North Alabama, Lawrence County, to be precise, but Ernie Yarbrough joins us on the line. Representative, good morning. How are you?
Brother, I am good. It's a beautiful day. I appreciate you having me on. Thank you for all you do, man.
Hey, you're very kind to say that. Thanks for coming on the program this morning. Well, I guess let's start here, and I'd be kind of watching some of your comments, and this is like a big topic for our audience here, but the whole flock camera phenomenon, and it's the movement against it's really catching on. You've been outspoken on this. Talk a little bit about it, and you know, kind of clue us in on what you've been able to discern about these devices.
Sure, and I'd be glad to. Actually, this conversation has gotten so big. I saw the other day where President Trump was asked about it, and he said, "Well, we're looking into it, and we're gonna formulate an opinion on this." And in fact, the LAPD in California just canceled their contract with Flock because there was such an outcry over people just being tracked. You know, I think in order to answer this question and to your topic, your point, you know, so flock cameras, obviously this kind of came, it felt like for me, it came out of nowhere. It's kind of like, you know, we laugh and joke about the scene from the Hobbit, you know, where they're like, they tease them about, they can't tell which one's a boy dwarf or a girl dwarf, which has led to the crazy assumption that dwarves just spring out of holes in the ground, right? Well, it's kind of funny, but that seems to be the method by which flock cameras are installed. They seem to just pop out of holes in the ground, and nobody ever sees anybody installing them. And yet they're a topic of tremendous concern. And, you know, in a nutshell, the flock camera, what does it do? It has it takes pictures of all the cars that go by. It makes a digital profile of your car. And there's 40 to 50 of these cameras at least in Decatur. And so, you know, I was in a Lowe's parking lot the other day, and there's like three or four of them there, you know, never mind on public property. They're all over the place. They're there. They're more, so it seems like more are popping up every day. Nobody sees anybody installing them, but there they are. And I mean, the big fundamental concern that I have with a mass surveillance system that is able to track my movements. You know, I had a conversation with someone the other day, and I said, you know, what would you say? And this person was a lawmaker. Is your fundamental job? What's your fundamental responsibility? And you know what? It's not to make sure we have good roads. It's not to make sure that we have good education. It's not to make sure that we have economic development. It's not even to make sure that law enforcement, you know, that their job is easier. Now, do I believe in supporting our police? Of course. Do I want good schools? Yes. Do I want economic development? All day, every day, right? But the fundamental job of an elected official is to be faithful to the oaths that we swore to uphold and defend the United States and the Alabama state constitutions. That is our job. And in fact, even though people will say things like, well, our only job is to pass the budgets. Well, technically that may be true as far as the state legislature, but if the budgets are in violation of the Constitution, we change the budgets, right? That's our job. The Fourth Amendment says point blank that the right of the people to be secure in their persons, houses, papers and effects against unreasonable searches and seizures shall not be violated, and no warrants shall issue but upon probable cause supported by oath or affirmation, and particularly describing the place to be searched and the persons or things to be seized. How in the world does flock cameras leave me secure in my person when I can't even go to Lowe's without my movements being tracked? Never mind describing the place to be searched and the persons or things to be seized, right? So the reality is Article 1, Section 35 of a state constitution says sole object, the only legitimate end of government, is to protect the citizen in the enjoyment of life, liberty, and property. And when government becomes abusive of these things, it is usurpation and oppression. So that's the U.S. and the Alabama state constitution. My fundamental job as a legislator is to be faithful with my hand on the Bible to the oath that I swore to uphold both of those. So that means my first job is to protect the liberties and freedoms of my citizens, of my fellow citizens. And that's what we should do. And how in the world does a mass surveillance system that tracks my movements, makes digital profiles of me, and they're all strung together to track my movements when I've done nothing wrong? How in the world does that not violate the Fourth Amendment or the Alabama State Constitution? That's the fundamental problem that I have with it, is that our first job, look, a policeman's job is supposed to be hard, okay? Now, because you are protecting our rights and liberties against criminals, there's violence involved, right? There's bad things. A fireman's job is hard, right? That's why we honor those people so much and we praise them, because they have a hard job. The policeman's job is fundamentally to support and supplement my liberties and freedoms by protecting them from those who would take them from me. So, you know, that's, we've got to reframe how we can't tackle problems bass ackwards, as I say, Lawrence County-ish language there. We have to approach the conversations always from the constitutional angle first, because that's what we swore to do.
Well, thinking about this, like, where is this coming from? I can't imagine that small town Alabama is, like, you know, looking at this and they're thinking, well, you know, this is how we do our part to become part of the mass surveillance state. That, you know, these things, like you say, they're just popping up out of holes in the ground. No one really knows. We don't have a big discussion about, you know, the efficacy, you know, like, and how this is going to be, you know, implemented. And you know, I think absolutely, you know, you got to consider some kind of guardrails. But, you know, to me, it's like, who's pushing these? And why are all these, like, small towns, like Slocum, Alabama, of all places, embracing this technology that seems to be very, very unpopular?
Well, I think in part it's because our people, we as elected officials, we need to help lead our people in a better way to think in terms of principle, right? When people will come at this conversation and they'll say, well, you know, I mean, I'm not doing anything bad, so I don't care. Okay. Well, okay. Imagine being during COVID, right? If these had been up during COVID, what a freaking nightmare it would have been. We had Scott Harris shutting the state down, not elected. Okay. I got friends dead and in the grave for vaccine mandates. We had people being blamed, say it's time to put the blame at the feet of the unvaccinated, right? That kind of stuff went on in Alabama. Okay. So back in the 80s, we had friends go to jail for homeschooling. Hello, Alabama, in Alabama, you know, and so I think that we've got to reframe how we think, because if we don't, you know, there's all this upheaval every couple of years around elections. We've got to reframe the way we think 40-year solutions, not 2-year or 2-week or 2-month solutions. And these things are popping up. I saw an article the other day. I haven't verified it, but it appeared that Alabama Power was tied into helping use their infrastructure and charging subscription fees per month. I haven't verified that. You know, but it's obvious that there's this push and these things are happening. And look, the Alabama Sheriff's Association, they came out a few years ago when we had the whole battle over constitutional carry. And at that time, I believe it was the head of the ASA came out and said that he had a fundamental problem with the Second Amendment and that it should be modified. I read the article again recently. It's like I go back on occasion and read that. I'm like, wow. So let that sink in. If we do not hold elected officials or entities of power accountable, who are there to serve and do good things, it will lead to corruption. We have to hold ourselves accountable as elected officials. We have to hold ourselves accountable as citizens, and we have to be willing to use the tools and walk in the constraints of the Constitution, because it would be easy to say, you know what, let's just have everybody have a GoPro on. Let's let them AI scan our phones. Let's let them stop everybody at the bridge, you know, or whatever. You know, would you catch more crimes? Probably. You know, would it be max security? Yeah, like a max security prison. You know, but is that a world that we want to live in? And the answer is no, it's not. Right? Does freedom have risk? Freedom does have risk. But I would tell you it's worth it. And I think the reason why they're popping up in all these small towns is, number one, it's being done under cover of night. And they think it comes across like it's easier to ask for forgiveness than permission. Right. But then number two, we've got to have the mental framework to say, look, because I love law enforcement, but I love the Constitution more. Right. And so that has to be the way that we solve this issue. And I intend to make sure that the people have a voice on this issue. I mean, when LAPD cancels their flock camera contract in California because of security and freedom concerns, what does that tell you about what's going on?
Well, so and you sound, I mean, I think I read that you're interested in putting up some kind of bill that would put up some guardrails. Here's like what I think will happen. This is me talking. We know how this works. We know the actors in the state house. It's the municipalities who could be for it. Maybe the sheriff's association. These are heavy hitters in the state house, and you got to have Ernie Yarborough and Shane Stringer and some others over here saying, "Hey," and probably the public saying, "We don't want these things at all." Then you're going to have.
Let me be clear on that. In terms of guardrails, I'm against any mass surveillance system. Period. Right. If there's not warrants, if there's not the Fourth Amendment being respected. So I'm still searching these things out. But I'm not in favor of putting guardrails on a system if it's fundamentally unconstitutional.
Okay,
let's just be clear on that.
Yeah, that's fine. That's fine. But back to kind of where I'm at here is I think these guys are going to be like they're going to be for like these cameras and they're going to. And in the end, there's going to be this compromise. And there'll be some kind of limitations put on the use of these devices. But the way the legislature, the way leadership, I suspect, will react, will be like, hey, look at what we're doing to protect your Fourth Amendment rights. We are champions of the Constitution, but I think like it's not going to be satisfactory to a lot of people. They just don't want these things at all, right? They want these things to go away. They don't like this kind of surveillance. This isn't American. This isn't constitutional in their view. And like that's going to be the problem here. So like, how do you, I mean, they're going to expect guys like you to compromise on this. And I think it's like a black or white thing. You got to choose one or the other.
I agree with you 100%, Jeff. It's a black and white issue. And this is a Rubicon type of crossing moment. The more I look into this, the more, I mean, could you imagine looking into the eyes of our forefathers who stormed the beaches on Normandy, right? And said, D-Day, you did all of that so we could mass surveil innocent Americans. I mean, does anybody in their right mind think that our forefathers would not be heartbroken? You know, and you can say, well, we'll catch more crime. Again, you know what? Number one, it's true if you had mass surveillance, you might catch more crime. I don't want to live in that world. But number two, there's also hypocrisy in that, I think, or at least ignorance. Because why is it that when my dad was a child, and I remember when I was a child still, people took guns to school in the back windows of their pickup trucks, and they shot after school with school leadership, you know, like play pigeons, you know, gun shooting class or whatever. And they settled their issues. If the boys had a problem, they settled it on the playground. The issue wasn't a need for more technology, right? It was a fundamental issue of character. It's like people saying, well, the problem with our education is just more money. It's more money. No, you're not addressing the fundamental nature of what education is. So more money will actually make the problem worse. Right. It's just like we're fighting crime. You know, here I am thinking on the flock camera issue. I'm listening to the Daily Detail podcast and this guy gets his execution postponed again. Who's been on death row since 98 for double homicide. A guy in Decatur, you know, apparently committed sexual abuse of a child and it gets sentenced 5 years later. You know, and I quote this all the time from Ecclesiastes chapter 8 and verse 11 on the floor of the house. Because sentence against an evil work is not executed speedily, the hearts of men are set to do evil. Why is it that our fathers and our forefathers didn't have crime like this? It's because there was a much more swift execution of justice up on the head of perpetrators. The solution to crime is not to surrender our freedom. The solution to crime is to do what Romans 13 says, which is to be a terror to those that do evil and a rewarder of those that do good. So I put up a quote the other day. Benjamin Franklin said, "Those who would give up essential liberty to purchase a little temporary safety deserve neither liberty nor safety." I think this is a Rubicon moment. And you know, like I said, I love law enforcement. Antifa, BLM, they've done terrible things to make their job ridiculous, and it's been absurd when people are obviously guilty of crimes. But we knew they were guilty of crimes because a policeman was there. It was caught on camera footage. We saw what happened. It wasn't some automated system. That's why I've consistently voted against traffic cameras. I'm against traffic cameras. We have a right to face our accuser. And it's just, to me, the more I studied the whole idea of flock camera systems, it's just fundamentally unconstitutional. And I just, you know, that's wherever I ultimately land, and what legislation is brought and supported will be governed for me by the Constitution of the United States and our state constitution, and the voice of our people.
Representative, we're out of time, but thanks for hopping on talking about this morning. A lot of people in our listening audience really are concerned about this, but we appreciate your time. Let's do it again soon.
Yes, sir. Thank you so much. I enjoyed it.
All right. State Representative Ernie Yarborough there. Let's get a break in here. We'll be right back. This is the Jeff Poor Show on FM Talk 106.5. Got some drinking
money. I saw the light. I saw the light. No more darkness. No more night. Now I'm so happy. No sorrow inside.
Welcome back to the Jeff Poor Show at FM Talk 106.5. Thank you for staying with us on this Tuesday morning. We appreciate it. 251-343-0106 if you need to be in touch with the program. Just a few texts, a bunch of texts to get to here. Obviously, Ernie stirred everyone up, but talk about flock cameras. Still, by the way, still come John Wall. That's in the next hour, so stick around for that. Let's see here. Unnamed texter says, "My thing is, how do we, the public, know what are being shown in these flock cameras?" Okay, we just read that. There are stories out there of cops using flock cameras to stalk their girlfriends and wives. Well, I mean, it's just like with any surveillance, there's always going to be abuses. And I'm like an apologist for these things. I get it. They're not the ideal law enforcement tactics for a lot of us in this audience. But there's always abuses. And there's just a human element to it. And those need to be stamped out. And if someone is found to be doing that, then they need to face some serious repercussions. But, I mean, you can apply that to anything law enforcement or your government does. And I think the penalties would be, I mean, just because there's the potential for that is not the best reasoning to be against it. I think you oppose these things on a basis of law, on a basis of legality, on a basis of the constitutionality, and not because you might have one or two bad actors. Well, that's certainly a possibility. You could apply that reasoning to anything. Paul asks, who is paying flock? So that's, you know, that's the thing. Paul, you know, I just like think maybe they make their money on the back end. That they, by putting up the money up front to have these things installed in someone's community, and if they're mailing out citations, for example, or something like that, then if they're mailing them out, then the city collects the revenue, but it's sort of the fee for this technology. They make their money on the back end by collecting some kind of administrative fee or something of that nature, which is something you really got to watch for, I think, in this on this issue. Real Sam, I feel like the problems with flight cameras would be years down the road, kind of like the Patriot Act. It wasn't at first that it was getting abused, at least we know of. Yeah, and then the thing is, it's a lot easier to get your city council to back off of this than it would be the Congress or a president or something of that nature. Let's get a break in here. We'll return. This is the Jeff Poore Show on FM Talk 106.5.
Every gambler knows